Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Buck Brief. On this episode, our friend Chris Free joins us now. He's got a book out, Operator Syndrome. He wants to talk to us about this very important phenomenon that faces our military veterans. And Chris, would you first just tell everybody about yourself and how you came to this point? Just give some background before we dive into operator syndrome and the medical and behavioral components of it.
Sure. So first of all, thanks for having me, Buck. My father was a Vietnam veteran growing up. He was not a combatant. He was a Air Force physician. And my great-grandfather, who I knew very well, was a veteran of the Spanish-American War. He fought at the Battle of San Juan Hill. So as a young man, after college, I wanted to work with veterans. Went to school, got a PhD in clinical psychology in 1992, and I worked in the VA system in the Medical University of South Carolina for 15 years. Left there in 2006, and I've been at the University of Hawaii ever since. And along the way, about half, you know, quite a bit of my time, for 12 years, I commuted to Houston every month for work, first at Baylor College of Medicine and then at the University of Texas. So my career has been a mixture of clinical work, teaching, and quite a bit of research. So I have over 300 scientific publications and you know, all the grants and presentations and all that stuff. But my passion has been working with the special operations community over the last decade or so. And that includes operators from every branch of the U.S. military, including probably maybe several hundred tier one operators, maybe 100 tier one operators. I've worked with people that are still active duty, no longer active, A lot of the work has also been with private defense contractors, which is an invisible population to Americans because America doesn't know how many people who deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan during the last 20 plus years were not deployed as members of the armed forces, but were private defense contractors.
How do you first come upon your research on this specific constellation of medical and behavioral healthcare needs of military special operations forces, as I'm reading from your article here, that constitute operator syndrome? How did you find yourself first needing or finding yourself drawn to the study of this and this challenge and this problem?
Well, if we back up to 1992 in my career, when I started at the VA, and I really loved working at the VA, I loved my patients. Most of the people I worked with were Vietnam era veterans, some Korean, even some World War II veterans still coming into the VA at that time. What I didn't love about my job, and by 2006, I just couldn't take it anymore. What I didn't love was the bureaucracy of the VA and the politics and the policies and the harm that I saw the VA was doing to many veterans via their policies and the poor care and the lack of care that was pretty predominant in many ways. So that's why I left the VA. And a few years later, really just by fortune, good fortune, I made some friends in Houston who were former operators. One was a former Tier 1 Navy SEAL who had been on a lot of the big time missions that movies have been made about. And I also met guys from Army and Marines and Air Force while I was there. And so just kind of had a friend circle of former operators. One of the things that was interesting and confusing was they did not seem to have PTSD. And a very common thing that I was hearing initially was, hey, can you help me? I don't know what's wrong. Something is off. I feel different. But I don't know what it is. And so with my background of PTSD, I thought I had this expertise, blah, blah, blah. Turns out I did not have expertise. Turns out I did not know how to help these guys. So these are my friends, and we're just kind of playing trial and error. Let's get a sleep study. Let's get a blood test, and let's look at your hormones. Let's have a conversation. Can I talk to your spouse or your partner and get some information about how you behave, how you think, how you function, and how you sleep? And it was eye-opening. And gradually over time, I kept seeing it was the same pattern of injuries and illnesses over and over and over again. Every guy I met had low testosterone. What the hell? How is that possible? Why does a big, strong 37-year-old Navy SEAL who's just a year out, why does he have low testosterone? I didn't understand that. So over the course of time, I and some of my colleagues who kind of shared an interest, we talked with a lot of guys and a lot of listening and a lot of trial and error. But we began to figure some things out. We began to find that we could help guys. And from there, it was just a matter of word of mouth. Just, hey, you helped my friend. Could you talk? You helped me. Could you talk to my friend? Maybe you can help my friend. And then the friends of friends. So in the last decade, I would say I've come to just organically, I've probably talked to 250, 350 operators. And then I've also done some forensic work on the side of the private defense contractors. So I've worked with, I think I've evaluated over 250 private defense contractors putting in Defense Base Act insurance claims.
So what is operator syndrome and how is it different from PTSD?
Yeah. So, well, let's start with how are operators different. And let's acknowledge there's a formal definition of operator. It's somebody who's gone through selection and then training for one of the special operations units. That's Navy SEALs. That's Army Special Forces. That's, and I include Rangers in there. That is Marine Raiders and Force Recon. That is Air Force PJs and combat controllers. And there's, paramilitary, from your prior work that the intelligence agencies have paramilitary and they employ private defense contractors, global response. And so that's kind of that's kind of the people we're talking about. And then what makes them different from conventional? Let's this is something I think most people have no awareness of. Yeah, everybody knows that a Green Beret is cool. He's a badass dude. But nobody really understands the magnitude of the differences. So what we're talking about is just extensive experience, training, and deployments with blasts. Blast exposures cause a very unique type of damage to the brain. If you're standing within the radius, that explosion is going to pass through the body. It's going to have a shearing effect through all of the soft tissue in the body. You have the incredibly high operational tempo going in and out. There's very little time off. So you do a 6-month deployment. On that deployment, you may be running missions twice a week, twice a night. Oftentimes it's nighttime work, not daytime work. So the sleep schedule is shifted and dysregulated. Come home from deployment, and then there's new training evolutions constantly. So there's really very, very little downtime. That high operational tempo means our soldiers are living with a chronically elevated cortisol and stress hormones flowing through their blood constantly. Their sleep is always jacked up to some extent. Then you have the massive amount of chronic pain on the joints, jumping out of helicopters, rappelling out of helicopters, jumping out of perfectly good airplanes, rucking with heavy weight and body armor. Every guy I know who, by the time he's 30, has chronic pain in shoulders, neck, back, knees, elbows, ankles, that adds another burden. So part of how we describe this is allostatic load. Allostatic load is a hypothetical. It's not a specific, it doesn't refer to anything specific, but it's a hypothetical construct that refers to the entire dose of everything that is on a soldier's back for the course of their career. And that's another thing that's different. Most operators have careers that are 10 years long or 15 or 20. Very few of them are doing, you know, a 4-year enlistment and then being out. In fact, that's almost unheard of. So it's not just that they have maybe a magnitude of blast exposures that's 10,000 times more than a conventional soldier in one given year, but they're doing that for 20 years maybe. So you just have an incredible burden on the entire body. Then you have the toxic exposures. Our soldiers in the special forces, and we're seeing this now, it's just emerging, the high rates of cancer and respiratory illnesses. Yes, we know burn pits are a thing, and those have affected soldiers from all branches who deployed, but it's not the burn pits that are really hammering the community of special operations. It's the radiological materials, the biological materials. It's the many doses of vaccines and shots that they've received. How much anthrax has a Navy SEAL received by the end of his career? Then you have the you just have the mystery things that are out there, wandering around a field, wandering around an airfield in some other country. I won't name countries, but countries around Afghanistan where old Soviet military bases were. And they're there for weeks, months. I've talked to soldiers, contractors who spent a year at some of these places. They're describing green ponds floating in the dirt. What's that? What's going on there? One of the gentlemen that I met who was at one of these places describes how he developed type 1 diabetes.
Usually you have to be born with that, right?
Isn't that correct? Yeah. Correct. But if you get your pancreas smoked there, then you're going to have some real issues. So there are maladies that we don't barely even understand. I got a text about 15 minutes ago before we went on the air from a friend who spent 25 years at first SF and then at Delta, who is in his mid-40s, and he just received a pacemaker, and it's not for the usual reasons that people receive a pacemaker for. And he just can't get his blood pressure regulated. He's been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. He's concerned about, sometimes several doctors have told him he has ALS. Doctors themselves can't figure out what's going on with a lot of our guys. And then if you take that to the VA and kind of go back and think about what I said about leaving the VA, I think part of what I want to say to folks and part of the message is the VA is completely missing the boat.
Can we hold on that, Chris, for 1 second? I want to come back to it.
Sure.
Just a word from our sponsor. We'll address this. I want to know, okay, Chris has these findings, has been working with these operators. One would think in the civilian world, where I come from, that VA, DOD would want to do everything they can to address these issues and to put resources behind it. I have a feeling Chris is going to tell me it has not been that smooth. So we'll get to that here in just a second. But with everything going on these days, do you find yourself wondering about how to protect yourself and your family financially or otherwise? One form of financial protection is diversification into precious metals. Gold has often been used as an asset, and it's also used as a hedge against inflation. It's a global reserve asset, and countries are buying massive amounts of gold, and this is something you should consider for yourself. Stop thinking that things are just going to get better. Take action today. My friends at the Oxford Gold Group will help you understand why you need real gold in your 401k and why you should have real gold on hand. It's easy, it's simple, and the Oxford Gold Group is there to help. Visit oxfordgoldgroup.com/free and order the investment guide or make a purchase of precious metals and earn up to $2,500 in free gold. oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. That's oxfordgoldgroup.com/free. Okay, Chris, so you've studied this. You've identified there's a problem. You try to bring the problem to the VA and to people in the government that should be helping our military and our warriors. And what's been going on?
Well, let's talk about what the VA is for a moment. The VA is a large bureaucracy healthcare organization. They are set up to serve the vast majority of veterans, 95% of whom, including those who deployed, were not necessarily combatants. And if they were combatants, for the most part, they were not doing the same thing as the 1% to 3% of those who fought most of the war and saw the heaviest combat and saw the constant stressors, allostatic load, and the high operational tempo that they went through. What the VA does is the VA is very good at hitting the PTSD easy button. You served in Iraq, boom, PTSD. That's PTSD. We have so far over-diagnosed PTSD. I mean, it's a crying shame, to be honest. The problem that operators have is they don't really have PTSD. I mean, they may have some of the symptoms, but they don't have the fear reactivity. They don't show the same type of avoidance of triggers and cues that you see with, you know, typical PTSD. What operators do have is massive traumatic brain injuries. They have low testosterone and other hormonal dysregulation. They have sleep dysregulation and insomnia, but they also, many of them, maybe 80, 90% of the guys that I've worked with have sleep apnea. Even when they're in their late 30s, early 40s, they're developing sleep apnea. So put that together with the chronic pain, the cognitive problems, and the headaches that go with TBI. Many of them have some of the other classic symptoms of TBI, poor balance, blurry vision. They all have ringing in their ears and other perceptual system impairments, vision, hearing, balance. Think about how that ripples out to their family, how that ripples out to their community, their work. And then there's nobody that understands them. They go to see a doctor, and the doctor will say, oh, I've never seen anything like this. I don't know what to tell you. And in modern medicine, we have the problem of the fragmentation of care. So a veteran goes to the VA or any healthcare system. They're going to see one doc for their sleep, another doc for pain, another, if they're lucky, another doc for urology, if they're lucky. But these docs rarely talk to each other. So they're just not getting what they need. My conversations with people who work for VA, work for SOCOM, work for DOD, and I want to be clear, I'm not affiliated with any of these organizations. I'm a complete outsider. There's no reason they should listen to me necessarily. But what I hear over and over again is, well, we already got programs for everything. They will say, we can't build special programs for special operations because that's not social justice. And I've heard this argument over and over again. It's not socially just to build special programs for operators. And my response to that, and I'll try not to drop any F-bombs here, is in medicine, we need to treat the injuries that people have. So if you have a group of people with unique injuries, they need unique care. They need care that is specifically contextually tailored for their needs. And just to give an example of one thing that I've heard over and over again, and this is a story that I've heard so many times that, you know, I certainly believe it, is an operator goes in to the VA, they're referred to mental health, they meet their social worker or their psychologist or whoever their therapist is for the first time, and they start talking, and their therapist has never heard the kinds of things that they're now hearing for the first time. And frequently, they break out crying and sobbing. And so I've heard this many times that operators tell me, yeah, I had one appointment. 10 minutes in, my therapist is sobbing into her hands and into tissues. And I just, like, I'm sorry, I get up and I walk out. Because what else am I going to do?
Wow. So, Chris, I want to get to what can be done to, so you've identified this, people are pushing back on it. I want to get to the treatment here next, and also why you wrote the book, Operator Syndrome, which for those who are watching on YouTube can see there's a copy of the book behind Chris's head. But first up, from our sponsor, American Financing. When I bought a home last year, it was very straightforward. Who am I going to get my mortgage from? American Financing. That's who I went with because that's who I trust. That's who I've had a relationship with for years. They've been helping people just like you save money on their mortgages for 25 years. Last year, the average customer that used American Financing saved $854 a month by tapping into their home's equity to pay off high-interest debt. And with mortgage rates dropping into the fives, now's a great time to call American Financing. All it takes is a 10-minute call to 866-890-9392. They never charge any upfront fees. That's why they have over 7,200 Google reviews and a 4.7-star rating. They've helped thousands of customers, including me, save real money and put themselves into a better financial position. Call today to see what American Financing can do for you. 866-890-9392. That's 866-890-9392. AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.406% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-890-9392 for details about credit cost and terms. Chris, how do we treat operator syndrome?
Yes, that's the important question here. And the good news is we have treatments. We have ways to provide care. I would start with a general principle is you need to have some contextualization of the care. It's best if you have providers who have talked to operators and know a little bit about what an operator has been doing, what that means from a career perspective, but as well as also an injury perspective. I'll just go through some of the treatments, and then I'll talk about kind of how we can put them together and some of the foundations that are just doing phenomenal work out there. First off, you know, the basics. Yes, it's worth considering psychotherapy. Many guys might benefit from psychiatric medications such as antidepressants. What we don't want to do is load them up on 3 or 4 or 5 psychiatric medications, which is what I commonly see. And that's a common complaint about when guys have tried the VA. But there's treatments that the VA doesn't typically provide, but that they're out there. So stellate ganglion block therapy, that's one of the things I start with. Go get a stellate ganglion block therapy. It's a safe, one-time medical procedure. We've been using it in medicine for over 100 years. It's provided not by mental health professionals, but by psychiatry and neurology. It was a treatment for chronic headaches and certain types of headaches, but about 10, 15 years ago, a couple of neurologists at Fort Bragg working with soldiers noticed that when they treated a soldier's headache, that their anxiety went down and they started to sleep better immediately, like that night or the next day. And so since then, Sean Mulvaney, Jim Lynch have done a number of randomized clinical controlled medical trials. Others have too, and shown that it's a very effective treatment for reducing the anxiety and insomnia that goes along with PTSD, but general anxiety, you know, as a rule. So this is a great place to start because it just brings the volume of that anxiety down. Now that isn't necessarily going to last forever. It's a treatment that involves injecting a little bit of lidocaine or novocaine into the stellate ganglion nerve. This can be accessed on the side of the neck It goes down our central nervous system. It's the sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight. So we're just dialing it down. That's what the treatment does. This benefit lasts for anywhere from 2 months to over a year, typically. A lot of guys never even notice it when it wears off because they're doing other things that are really helpful. Ketamine infusion is a 4 to 8 sessions of ketamine infusions are a very powerful treatment. And I and others have a hypothesis that combining the stellate and the ketamine in the same week or the same month, that they're symbiotic with each other. And we think they help not just with the anxiety and the depression and the, you know, the mood and cognitive functioning, but that they help regenerate, they help stimulate nerve regeneration in the brain. So they're actually healing the brain. We are using very effectively a lot of regenerative medicine techniques. Now, this isn't my thing, so I probably won't say too much about it, but the soldiers that we refer to some of these regenerative medicine clinics where they use stem cells and exomes and peptides really reduce the chronic joint pain, which is a game changer. If you're living with chronic joint pain all the time at a high level, to have that lifted off of you really profoundly changes your life for the better.
And what are some
Sorry.
I was saying, what are some of the entities that are working on this problem and that are trying to help operators who face this syndrome?
Right. So I'm the one I work most closely with is the SEAL Future Foundation. They have a program where any SEAL who's no longer active duty can call, and they're going to talk to another SEAL who's a former corpsman, medic, combat medic, and they'll have a long conversation, and they'll talk with them about what's going on, what are your needs. They do use the operator syndrome framework. They one of the early things is hormones. So getting tested, getting a full panel of endocrine panel of to look at hormones, testosterone, estrogen, human growth hormone, thyroid, and every single and the rest of them. Getting that treated early on is important. And that doesn't mean testosterone replacement therapy necessarily, but it does mean a number of things that can be targeted to improve the production of testosterone. And so SEAL Future will talk to the guy, make the referrals, and we've developed a large referral network, and then they'll pay for it.
And do you get into some more of this in the book, Operator Syndrome? Do you
Yes. Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that. Let me so say, people can go get a copy.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Thank you for asking. So the book is written for operators and for their spouses and their families. It's not an academic book. It's not a book I've written for other, you know, desk jockeys like myself. It's written for the community. Each chapter in the book provides, they're kind of like short magazine articles. So you can bounce around if depression is your primary issue or addiction or existential issues, guilt, shame, loss of tribe. Each chapter touches on one of the components of the syndrome. And there's treatment. The third part of the book is about treatments and interventions, including lifestyle, because lifestyles are a big part of it. Well, you know, we need to change the way we eat and sleep, and health practices like cold plunge, hot sauna bathing, those kinds of things can make a profound difference. The other thing about my book, which I want to say, is I didn't write the whole book. I had a lot of help. I kind of went through it the other day. What I did is each chapter starts with 2 to 5 quotes from real people, operators, and spouses. There are a handful of quotes from care providers or scientists who work with the community. So in the book, are the voice of over 40 operators are represented in there. And their names and their units, not their specific units, but the branches and the type of unit that they were in. So I wanted the book to be, it's essentially an airport read. For an operator, can pick it up, read chapter one, and be like, okay, wow, now I have a sense of some things
and
that
Chris,
I didn't
where,
know.
Is it available on a specific website or just Amazon and wherever books are sold? Where can people get it?
Wherever books are sold, Amazon it's on Amazon. The publisher's Ballast Books. You can go to their website. It's not released yet. It's coming out March 26. You can pre-order it now, but it won't be released for another few weeks.
Chris Free, thank you for your work. Thanks for your time today and for what you're doing for our warriors. We all appreciate what you're doing for them, and thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Buck.
Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and built specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.